Worship this morning, would you say amen? I'm so thankful for Pastor Andrew and his leadership of our worship ministry and the way that God is using him, and such an awesome thing. If you would, go ahead and turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3 is where we're going to dive into the Word of God this morning. Of course, you're welcome to join with us if you have a Bible app on your media device. Or if you don't have a Bible in front of you, or with you this morning, you want one just in front of you, there are some pew Bibles that you could use. 1 Samuel chapter 3 is where we will start this morning. You know, it's funny, the things that you remember as a child. Something happened when I was really, really little that changed our home forever. It's a huge event in the life of my family, something major that happened. It was in the early 1980s. I was about 4 or 5 years old when this major event happened. And for the first time, when I was really small, my parents got cable television. It was a big deal, okay? This was a technological innovation that was very big to us back then. Because students, I know you can't even fathom this right now, but in a day before the internet and in a day before you could just stream and watch whatever it was that you wanted to watch, or in a day before satellite television and things like Primetime Anytime or DVR, praise God for DVR, by the way. But in a day before all that stuff, and even in a day before cable television, if you wanted to watch your favorite television shows, you needed a good antenna in your home. A lot of people, most everybody I knew back then, had something that looked a little bit like this on top of their television. We called them rabbit ears. You know why they're called rabbit ears too, don't you? And some of you may even use something like this today. They do still make these to catch the digital signal. We have a digital antenna at our house as well that we use often. And one of the things you know to be true about this, those of you that remember these things or still use them today, you know that if they're tuned in the right way, that they can bring in the message that's being broadcast from the networks. We can see and hear and experience that message that's being sent out the wave into the air through the radio waves and the digital, I guess, signal that's being transmitted today. Friends, I want to tell you something this morning. There is a God in heaven that loves you, and He wants you to hear His voice. My prayer this morning is that we would, as we dive into God's Word, we're going to see a historical account of a boy who was so in tune with the things of God that he literally heard the voice of God. So often, I believe God is speaking to us, and we just don't hear Him. We just don't catch what it is that He's saying because we're not really tuned in to His message. We're not in tune with Him, and so we're just not receiving that signal very strongly. My prayer is that this morning that we would hear the voice of God, not just today, but that it would, in hearing God's voice this morning, that we would grab some practical things that would help us to be in tune with the voice of God in our everyday lives. Let's pray. God, we thank You for today. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the opportunity we have to study Your Word together. I pray, God, that You would speak through this message, Holy Spirit, that You would not just fill this place because we sense Your presence here, but that You would speak clearly to us. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Samuel chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 1. Read down, I think, to verse 14. So, if you would, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. The boy Samuel served the Lord in Eli's presence, and in those days the word of the Lord was rare and prophetic visions were not widespread. One day Eli, whose eyesight was failing, was lying in his room. Before the lamp of God had gone out, Samuel was lying down in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was located. Then the Lord called to Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." He ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "I didn't call you," Eli replied. "Now go back and lie down." So he went back and lay down. Once again, the Lord called Samuel. Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "I didn't call, my son," he replied. "Now go back and lie down." Now Samuel had not yet experienced the Lord because the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Once again, for the third time, the Lord called Samuel, and he got up, went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli understood that the Lord was calling the boy. So he told Samuel, go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came, stood there, and called as before, Samuel, Samuel. Samuel responded, speak, for your servant is listening. The Lord said to Samuel, I'm about to do something in Israel that everyone who hears about it will shudder. On that day, I will carry out against Eli everything I said about his family from beginning to end. I told him that I'm going to judge his family forever because of the iniquity he knows about. His sons are defiling the sanctuary, and he does not stop them. Therefore, I have sworn to Eli's family, the iniquity of Eli's family will never be wiped out by either sacrifice or offering. It's interesting that this boy named Samuel was hearing the voice of the Lord. God was calling to him. And as we see some of the circumstances that he was in, I think you and I could learn some things about what it means to be in tune with the voice of God. The first thing that I notice here is that if you and I are going to hear from God, we need to be in the right place. Verse 3, you notice what verse 3 says. He says, before the lamp of God had gone out, Samuel was lying in the tabernacle. Now, one of the things that you would have to understand here is that there was a job that the priests had, and this goes all the way back to the book of Exodus, where God had commanded Aaron and his sons to make sure that the lamp of God, the menorah that was on the golden lampstand in the area of the tabernacle called the holy place, they were to make sure that that was lit at all times. And so they had that job to do. And so a lot of theologians believe that what woke Samuel up that night was the fact that he had been given the task of caring for that lampstand, making sure that oil didn't go out. They would have to go at least two times a day and refill the oil into that lampstand. And so one of the things I wanted you to understand about this is that as Samuel would have been caring for this lampstand, this would not have been something out of the ordinary, okay? This is not something that Eli would have come to him and said, Samuel, I've got an idea. We've never done this before. This is going to take a huge leap of faith for you. I want you to go and tend to the lampstand tonight. This would have been part of their everyday routine. And I hate to use the word routine. It was part of their everyday life as believers. And Samuel, as a young man, a young priest being raised in the temple, his mother, if you read for chapters 1 and 2, had dedicated him to the service of the Lord. He was being raised in the temple, learning how to be a priest. He was a priestly helper. It's also interesting to know, friends, that the word that is referred to Samuel is boy. When the boy Samuel, that tells us he was pretty young. He would have been under the age of 12. And so if he was 12 or older, had he been through his bar mitzvah, he would have been referred to as a man in Scripture, but it refers to him as a boy. But Samuel, in just his everyday, just going about life and being a believer and doing the things that he was supposed to do, found himself so close to the Lord spiritually that he literally heard the voice of God calling him. And the thing I want you to understand is that when we're going to be in the right place spiritually, we have to understand that means that we need to we need to be focused on and thinking about the everyday things of our faith. A lot of times we think about hearing from God. We think about about going to some amazing worship time. And this morning, worship was awesome, by the way. But we think about going on a mission trip or going on a retreat. We think about these big events in our lives and how God would speak to us. But in reality, and God can't speak through those things, but in reality, God often speaks to us through the everyday things in our life as we live to worship Him. This is what Paul was talking about in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, where he says, therefore, my brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, for this is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. So often in student ministry and young adult ministry, I talk to people and they're asking this question, what's God's will for my life? They're asking essentially, how can I hear the voice of God so I can discern what it is that he is calling me to do? And Paul is telling the Romans here in the New Testament, in Romans, he said, you want to know the will of God? You just need to live in worship. You need to let your life be worship. Worship isn't something that we're supposed to do just whenever we come in here on Sunday morning. Worship isn't just something we do whenever we meet or bump into somebody that we know from church out in town. Worship is something we're supposed to be doing every day with all that we are, with our whole lives, living as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And I just wonder, friends, are you committed to the everyday things of your faith? You know, sometimes I think the reason why we're just not in tune with God is because we're just not paying attention to the right things. We want to hear from God when we have a major decision. Well, okay, well, I better go to church more. Maybe I ought to read my Bible more. Now it's time to decide, you know, make this major decision in life. Oh, I better get close to God so I'll know who to date or who not to date, or how to raise my kids, or what school I should go to, those kinds of things. But in reality, God's desire is that we would be have an everyday life that would worship him. Are you committed to the everyday things of your faith? The second thing I see here, I'm also reminded of this in verse 3, is that we're going to hear the voice of the Lord, be in tune with his voice when we are focused on the right thing. We're focused on the right thing. I never forget going to my grandparents' house. My dad's parents lived on this farm. It's about 600 acres up in the Ozark Mountains. And when I was in college, they moved off of the farm into the big city. It wasn't really a big city. It was a little town, but it was a town, which was more of a town than they lived in before. But I would go and see my grandmother a lot, even after my grandfather had passed away. And it was really interesting how the television worked there, because outside of her house was this large antenna. You know what I'm talking about? Not like rabbit ears. I'm talking about the big, huge antenna that's on the pole, and it was up about 40 feet high, and it was really interesting. It was driven way down in the ground, but it actually was driven down into another pipe or pole that created a little bit of a bearing, so you could turn that thing. And the reason that was significant was because when my grandmother wanted to watch Channel 4, which was the NBC station, we had to make sure that antenna was pointed a certain direction. But if she wanted to watch Channel 11, which was the CBS station, we had to go there and turn that pole and make some adjustments and then turn it and make sure it's turned in the right direction to get the right signal. I think sometimes the reason why we're not hearing clearly the voice of the Lord is because we're just not focused on him. You know, you and I, we're all focused on something in life. But when you and I are focused on God, then that's when we are going to hear the voice of God the most. You know, what's interesting about this, when you think about what Samuel would have been doing, tending to this lamp of God, a lot of theologians also believe, and commentators believe, that what really initially woke him up whenever he heard the voice of the Lord calling, what would have initially woke him up is just him getting up to go tend to the lamp. This was something that he had to do throughout the night. It was kind of like the graveyard shift. It was his job to get up out of bed and to go make sure that thing was burning all night long. So he would go and fill the lamp with the oil. But what that tells me, though, folks, is that he would have had to have been focused on that, and he would have had to have focused on that enough to make that enough of a priority for him that he was willing to get on up out of bed and go in there and do the everyday things of his faith. If you and I are focused on the Lord, we begin to prioritize the things of the Lord in our life. I believe that that is when God is going to speak to us. I want to show you a picture from Scripture here, from Psalm 32. This is a great picture. I love it. Psalm 32:8 says this: I will instruct you and show you the way to go. With my eye on you, I will give counsel. Now, I think the overall theology here of this verse is that simply God knows us. He sees us. He's going to instruct us. You know, he's paying attention to us, that kind of thing. But I think it's interesting how this is phrased. He says, I will show you the way to go with my eye on you, or with my eye on you, I will give you counsel. The picture there is that the Lord is giving direction with his eyes. You think about that. If somebody is talking to you with their eyes, when they look at you and you know what they're thinking, that means you probably spent some time with them. You probably have a good relationship with them. You've probably hung out with them. My wife, I can tell you, I can look at her and know whether she says something or not. I can know when she's having a good day. I can know when she's having a bad day. Why? Because I've looked at her a lot. Okay? You're supposed to do that, by the way. All right? And so, that's how I know, because I have spent time with her. You know how we're going to know what God wants for us? When we look him in the eye. When we spend time focusing on him. If you're going to be in the right place spiritually, that's going to mean automatically, that's a given, that you're focused on Jesus. You're focused on Christ. So the question really, I think, when we think about these things is, how is it that God speaks to us, and how can we know when God is speaking? Friends, I want you to know that God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit speaks to us in a number of ways. I put three sort of broad categories that there are a lot of things could fall under these categories. But the Holy Spirit of God is the part of God that is speaking to us when we hear God speaking. We sense him speaking. That is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit often speaks through God's word. Let me tell you something, and this is a different sermon, but I will tell you something when you're thinking about what God's will is for your life. The Holy Spirit of God is never going to tell you to do something that's going to stand in contention with the word of God. That's why the word of God is so important. God speaks so often through his word. In our everyday worship, if we're just studying his word, we're going to discover and know what is his good and perfect and pleasing will, the word of God. I put on here this term, a counsel of godly wisdom. This is something, a term that I use a lot, but it's this idea that there are people, a people of the faith, there are people of the Lord in your life that God will use to speak to you. These are not people that just say they're Christian. I mean, obviously they're going to say they're Christian, but these are people that are really, they're in the word and they're spending time with God. They're focused on the Lord. They're in the right place spiritually. Their attention is on the right things. It's on the cross. It's on Jesus. There's a counsel of godly wisdom, people in your life that God will often speak through. The Holy Spirit will speak through those people. And then, of course, prayer. A lot of times we think of prayer as something that we do when we talk to God, and that is part of it. But God often speaks to us through prayer as well. Prayer is a time when we get to hear the voice of God. I there were times of prayer when I know that God has given me a word or a message or given me a thought for whatever it is that I needed to know to get me to answer a question or direct my path. We need to be spending time in prayer. If you want to hear the voice of God, then I want to encourage you. Look him in the eyes. Learn to look him in the eyes and focus on him. Third thing I want you to see is that we're going to hear the voice of God and be tuned into his voice when we are ready to respond. We're ready to respond. You look in verses 4 through 10 of this passage and you see over and over again, God calls Samuel. And over again, Samuel responds. Now, he responds. He doesn't know it's the Lord calling him. He just knows that somebody is calling him. He thinks that it's Eli, which would make sense because Eli was the high priest. He was the one in charge. He was the one basically raising Samuel, very much like a father to Samuel. Definitely the person that was discipling Samuel. Now we know that Eli had some issues, and that's part of the message that God eventually gives to Samuel, that it's time to for God's judgment against Eli to come to fruition. But Samuel hears this voice, and three times he goes to Eli because he thinks it's Eli calling. And so he's just being obedient. He's just responding the best he knows how. He's responding to the Lord. Then finally we see after the third time when Eli realizes that God is speaking to Samuel, he tells Samuel, he says, now, next time you hear that voice, you need to say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And that's exactly what he does. I believe it's in verse 10. Samuel hears the voice of the Lord again, and he says, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Now, I want you to know that there is a lot of things to be understood about the word servant. Because when Samuel says, "Speak, for your servant is listening," another way to translate that word servant is as a slave. He was saying to God, "Lord, would you speak to me? Because I am your slave. I am ready to do whatever it is that you want me to do. I'm not here to argue with you. I'm not here to debate with you. I'm not here to whine about it. I'm just here to do whatever it is that you have for me. Speak, Lord, please, for your servant, your slave. I am ready to respond to you." I think sometimes one of the reasons why we don't hear God speaking as clearly is because we're not always ready to respond. You know, it's interesting with these old rabbit ears. You know, sometimes you'd have these things tuned in, you'd have them in the right place, pointed in the right direction, but still the signal just wasn't coming in as sharp and as clear as we wanted it to. And I don't know about you, but we were pretty redneck at my house. You know what we would do? We'd make some adjustments. We'd take some foil and we'd wrap that foil around those rabbit ears. And we would do that a lot of times that would boost that signal and it'd come in just a little bit more sharp and a little bit more clear. You know, I wonder if there are some things some of us need to do, some adjustments that we need to make. There might be some in here this morning and you don't even read God's word. Maybe it's time to start doing that, making that a priority. Maybe some of you in here, you're not praying. You're not praying with your family. You're not praying just in your everyday relationship with the Lord. And maybe that's something you need to do to make that adjustment. Maybe some of you in here have been reading God's word, but now it's time to step it to the next level and you need to start studying God's word. You've become familiar with it, but now it's time to really dive in and really focus on it. I don't know what it is in your life that adjustments that might need to be made, but it's possible that there are people in here who are believers, but just don't have a sense that God is speaking in your everyday life. I want to share with you the verse. This is not on the screen, but this is a verse from Matthew, and I think it's really important for us to understand this. Matthew 18:20, Jesus says, "Where two or more are gathered in my name, there I will be also." And that's an amazing promise, folks, to know that if there are two or more gathered in the name of the Lord, that he is here this morning. But let me tell you what it does not say. It does not say that where two or three are gathered in my name, there they will hear from me. And I think it's sad that there are so many times, week after week, when we come to church and we do the things of the Lord, but yet we're just not hearing from God. We're just not hearing from God. I think the reason that could be is that we just have some adjustments to do, some fine-tuning issues so that we can be more focused on Him and we could be ready to respond. Maybe there are some adjustments that need to be made. And the last thing I want you to know is that we will hear the voice of God when we are connected to the right relationship. I don't know if they've put that picture up already, but can you put the picture up? Anybody of you remember these days? The days where, you remember those days? You can't see it from where you are probably, but that's just static on that television. You ever felt like that? Just no matter what you did, it just seemed like you just couldn't get it right. You know, I know there were times where it just said, well, I got the foil on the thing, and we got it adjusted, and it's all, and I just still can't get the signal. And you know, that's where I would get a clue whenever that would happen. And I would say, okay, wait a minute, I've got to put everything down, and I better go to the back of the TV and make sure that this thing's plugged up. Friends, I want to tell you something. You can read your Bible, and you can say your prayers at your meals. Those are all good things. You could come to church and say that you're a member or whatever. That's all good stuff. But if you've never been connected through faith to a relationship of God through faith in Jesus Christ, then all that is for nothing. Because you and I, we cannot hear from the voice of God apart from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to those who are believers in Christ. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of or in the heart of the believer. But you have to be a believer. To be a believer, you don't become a believer. You don't come to Jesus. You don't get saved by being a church member. You don't get saved by osmosis, by knowing somebody that's saved. You don't get saved by doing good works. You don't get saved by being baptized. And all those are good things. I'm not saying that they're not. The Bible teaches us very clearly that we're saved through faith alone in Jesus Christ. And so if you want to hear from the voice of God, you need to make sure that you are connected to the right relationship. That is very, very important. So this morning, I don't know really where you are in that, but I want you to know that there is a God that wants you to hear His voice. He wants you to experience the things of the Lord in your life. And it's only when we get in the right place spiritually. It's only when we're focused on Him, we're ready to respond, and ultimately, before any of that, that we are connected to a right relationship that we can hear and be in tune with the Lord. You know what's interesting about 1 Samuel in this passage is verse 7 says something, gives us a little clue about Samuel. A lot of people debate this. But it says this, they don't debate what it says, they debate what it means. But it says in verse 7, it says, "Now Samuel had not yet experienced the Lord because of the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him." There are a couple schools of thought in what that verse means. It could just mean that because Samuel would be a prophet, this was the first prophecy God would give him. And so because God had never spoken a prophecy in this way to him before, he didn't know to hear the voice of God. That's why he didn't realize it was God calling. There are others that would argue that the reason that Samuel did not hear God calling was because although he was a good, obedient young boy, he had not yet come to faith in God. And they would argue that it was at that time when he said, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening," and he proclaimed that he was ready to do whatever it was that God had for him. He was a servant. He was a slave of God. That it was that he came to faith in God, and it was in that moment that God began to speak to him. Now I don't know which one of those is more likely. They both make a lot of theological sense. The text is not super clear on that, but I will tell you this: it is clear that he obviously did not know God was calling him because he did not recognize God's voice. Maybe God is speaking to us often, and we're just not recognizing His voice. So wherever you are, whoever you are, wherever you are spiritually, if you want to know God's will for your life, if you want to hear from God, make sure that you're connected. Focus on Him. Get in the right place spiritually. Be ready to respond. Look Him in the eye, and He will guide you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your love, and God, I thank you for your word and the message that comes, and the message of God. Father, I thank you that whoever is here this morning that wants to can be fine-tuned to hear your voice. God, I thank you that you love us in such a way. Father, that you're willing to guide us when we're willing to focus in on you. God, I pray for the person that is here that may not know you as Savior. And for years and for a long time, they have been coming to church, or they've been doing the stuff, but God, they know that it's time to give their heart to Christ. I pray for that person that they would be ready to respond. I pray for someone who, Father, who needs to be baptized, who needs to follow you in baptism. Although it doesn't save us, it's something you call us all to do. It's part of being obedient to you. I pray for the one that may need to join the church, others that need to fine-tune their lives by studying your word, by diving into discipleship, by maybe even pouring out as a disciple and discipling others. Focused prayer by being involved in a community of believers. I pray, Father, wherever we are, I pray if you're calling, we would respond to you this morning. In Jesus' name, would you stand?